I just want to pray over you today. I feel like the Lord is giving an invitation to this house. It's like there's an invitation to life higher and more abundant than you've known it. And I've watched this house for a couple of years, and you've done a tremendous job of raising your children. And they are disciplined, and they are sweet, and they are, but there's an invitation to life he's bringing to all of you. And I couldn't do anything but cry this morning because I felt God wooing you into a deeper place, wooing you into an adventure of celebration. And it was so sweet to watch your kids celebrate today because you have done a great generational work in their lives. And we so appreciate when we go out and we do what we do, it's great to see the fruit of it in the churches around. It's not just happening out there, not just happening at the place we did the conference, but it's affecting the region and it's affecting the church as a whole. So I'm just going to pray that you take the invitation the Lord's giving you to come to a higher celebration of who Jesus is. So, Lord, I pray for your people, and I thank you for them. And I thank you for all the trials and tribulations and everything they've gone through in life. But, Lord, I just extend your invitation to them to come and enjoy the celebration of who you are. And I bless them for their diligence. I bless them for their heart to want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for making us all cry, sweetheart.
They made me cry.
We also have a dear friend who has been on this glory train journey with us. We'll get into that in just a moment. But Mama Bunny Worland, she's been at the cutting edge of every move of God the last 40 years. Would you stand, Mama Bunny? Bunny Worland. She looks real sweet and kind, right? Her nickname is Killer Rabbit. She is a killer rabbit in prayer. Bunny, come just greet everybody. And just you went beyond the veil today. What happened?
I was the last one in. Thank God I got here.
Jolene says, nice shoes, Mama Bunny.
Oh, I got my Chucks. Hallelujah. Woo! I've worn them every day, except the day we were in
Philadelphia,
when it rained and my shoes stretched out, and I was trying to walk with them, and I needed my Chucks on. I love you all. I just couldn't find you. I'm driving down the street, and it ended, my little checkered square thing to find you, and I thought, well, it's got to be in here, and then I saw the cars, and I knew Holy was here, and I came in, and I saw you with the children. I was like, yeah, teaching the children with her flag. See, all the flags have an identity. They have a color. They have an identity. They have a work that they do in the atmosphere. And the little ones, they were just precious. But I went behind the veil. I went behind the veil. And I got lost because it wasn't about me. It's all about him. And that's what this is all about. To be hidden in his presence. We still have a work to do. It's done in the flesh that we get out, but we're led by our spirit. But we have to be behind the veil. Young ones on this front row, you've got to go behind the veil and back there too. You've got to, you were something else doing all of that stuff. Oh my gosh. But that's what Jolene said. That this house has made a way for you to go beyond the veil. Learn to live there. Peep out and do what you're supposed to do. But learn to live behind the veil with him.
That advice is worth its weight in gold, isn't it? Well, as Doug Grable is very fond of saying, we had quite a month this past weekend with the School of Glory in... could you get me a glass of water? My wife Jolene and I, we have been on a tour of the Northeast, going to historic wells of awakening and revival. And I just remember the time that we were here last, you guys were doing an initiative to welcome back the glory of God. There's an evangelist of the Second Great Awakening named Charles Finney, who carried the move of the Holy Spirit in a profound way. And he came to Lancaster hoping to have a welcome in Lancaster. Instead, he was kicked out. And so the Second Great Awakening hit other places in Pennsylvania, hit certainly all across the Eastern Seaboard, but never really came to Lancaster County because the pastors said no. And I so appreciate the leadership of Alan and Becky as they mobilized the body of Christ to repent for where the body of Christ had said no to the move of Holy Spirit at that time. Thank you. Great. And it was very interesting. They really caught my attention because we had just been instructed by the Lord to retrace the revival tracks of the First and Second Great Awakening. And to give you the long story short, on 8-8 of 2008, on August 8 of 2008, my wife Jolene and I were at a well of awakening that Charles Finney and Daniel Nash had deposited into an entire region. How many of you have ever heard of Rome, New York? Not really many people know that there's a Rome, New York today, but if you lived back in the 1820s and 1830s, that would be the revival hotspot that you'd want to go to. It would be like the Toronto of the 90s and the Brownsville of the 90s or the Bethel of this hour. It was a place that if you wanted a touch from God, to experience the move of the Spirit in power, you would make your sojourn, you would make your pilgrimage to Rome, New York. That entire area surrounding Rome is known as the burnt over district because so many people came to Christ in the Second Great Awakening under the leadership of Charles Finney, evangelist, and Daniel Nash, intercessor. So many people came to Christ that by the time that the revival had been in full swing, there was nobody left to convert. Might have been a granny in the hills somewhere who refused to give up her whiskey. But besides that, everybody, man, woman, and child, animal, you know, they'd all come to Christ. Under the leadership of Daniel Nash and Charles Finney, and we were out in the a little town just north of Rome called Lowville, New York, where Daniel Nash had his church and is buried. Daniel Nash was probably the prototype of the relationship between intercessors and evangelists today. Daniel Nash would be sent by Charles Finney into a city to pray and pray through, gather some of those wild and crazy intercessors like, you know, Mama Bunny and Carla and Grables and these people. They're different, but they get the job done. Just saying. If you don't believe me, you just go talk to Killer Rabbit with her chucks. Get out, devil, or I'm coming in after you. But Daniel Nash would be sent into a city, and he would gather the wild ones, and they would pray together for breakthrough until they sensed a shift in the spirit. And then he would telegraph for Charles Finney to come down, and they together would reap the greatest harvest that had ever been seen in the United States of America. By the way, they were abolitionists as well. Finney would not preach in a church where black folks and white folks and Asian folks and Native folks and Hispanic folks were all welcomed together. That actually caused a little bit of a split, because whenever you see a move of the Holy Spirit, you see God bringing forth social justice in conjunction with that move. And in the Second Great Awakening, God was calling America to account for our original foundational documents. You remember the Declaration of Independence, where our founders, our forefathers, petitioned heaven's court. They quite literally asked for a judgment from the supreme judge of the universe for the rectitude of our intentions in breaking away from England and becoming our own nation, a nation under God. And they wrote in the Declaration of Independence that they're no longer willing to be subservient to the elite. They wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, all men, women, children, created equal." And in the Second Great Awakening, the word of the Lord came forth that God is holding to account the United States of America for the founding document upon which our nation was framed. And the Lord saw fit to bring a civil war. Abraham Lincoln decided that unless every man and woman is free, then nobody is really free. Both the slave and the slave owner are subjugated. He wrote down the road when he came to visit Gettysburg, he saw how our nation was in peril of being broken apart. There's winds of that even today. And he literally wrote the Gettysburg Address, and then he toured the battlefield, and he wrote two more words into the Gettysburg Address after touring the battlefield. Just like Ezekiel was told to go and look and see what's going on. And he found himself in the midst of a valley of dry bones, and they were dead. God asked him, can these bones live? Can these bones of Pennsylvania live? Can these bones of America live? He was so overwhelmed by what he saw, he said, only you know. And the Lord spoke to him. Spoke to Ezekiel and said, come from the winds, O breath. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. I submit to you that the winds of Holy Spirit, the throne room winds, came down in Ezekiel's vision and resurrected an army to life. And by that I know that not all whirlwinds are destructive. Sometimes they're signs from God. We'll get into that in just a moment. But when Abraham Lincoln entered into his Ezekiel-like experience, where he was in the valley of dry bones, I don't know if you've been to Gettysburg, there are hills around. Gettysburg is kind of a valley. And he walked in and he saw, after 7 or 8 months, I believe, there was still trying to bury the dead, and there's still bones all over Gettysburg. came back and he put two words into the Gettysburg Address that he had previously omitted. That is, under God. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish on the earth. He saw that for America to experience what God wanted to be experienced, for our nation to even be preserved, as brother was fighting brother on the battlefield, he saw that an experience like unto a born-again experience, in order for this nation to be saved, this nation had to literally be born again. That this nation under God might receive a new birth of freedom. That government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. That was what was in jeopardy. He recognized that this nation is unique among the nations and that we are a nation of freedom. It's what our forefathers lived for and died to give us, is the torch of freedom. That torch is being passed on to us to steward in this day. So Daniel Nash and Charles Finney were breakers in their day to forge a new way forward for our nation and warn of the consequences if America did not turn. And I'm telling you, we are in the midst of a third great awakening today. And in this awakening, the Lord is holding us to account according to those very same words, that all men are created equal. Now, this time, the issue isn't so much prejudice. The issue is whether or not we are created. Does life begin at creation or does life begin at birth? Our founders recognized that we are created in the image of God, that life begins at creation. I'll tell you, we have made tremendous progress in Washington, D.C., and turning our government and our nation from a covenant with death, empowering a culture of death, to a covenant of life, empowering a culture of life. And on 8-8 of 2008, when Jolene and I were out at this well of the Second Great Awakening, assigned to help friends uncap this well and see this great anointing of awakening reconstituted to the body of Christ, I had a prophetic experience. First thing that happened is I felt the ground shake. I know that may sound weird. I looked around because I thought it was a literal earthquake and nobody else was shaking. I'm the only one shaking. Kind of like Chris Grable in the pool. Which is getting baptizing people yesterday. Or Mama Bunny, when she's baptized down in Brunswick, Georgia. My God, she shook, she baked, she created waves all over the place. My wife, Jolene, too. And we've had this baptism revival going on, and people get in the waters, they get hit by the Holy Spirit, and they begin to shake. Anyway, that's a bunny trail, Mama Bunny. I've learned to take a few of them, following in your footsteps. First thing that happened is the ground began to shake, and I saw a geyser shoot out of the ground and into the sky. So, and I knew that this was symbolizing that the well of awakening had been reconstituted. And then the ground continued to shake, and it broke forth from Lowville, New York, and I watched as it went from Lowville, this earthquake, down to southern New York, through northern Pennsylvania, Scranton area, down through Lancaster and Gettysburg, and then down into Maryland. right down into Washington, D.C., to the Washington Monument. And everywhere where the ground broke apart, babies shot out of the ground and into the sky. And they were being caught by angels. That's a pretty amazing vision. It's a vision of the harvest that God's bringing. All creation is groaning, the Bible says, for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. I knew I was seeing a harvest of souls that what had tied us to earth is like somehow being broken through, and we're being shot out of the ground and we're being born again. But I also knew that as part of this third great awakening, God is shifting us from this covenant with death and hell that has defined the last 45 years or so through abortion to a covenant of life. Let's fast forward to 2011. On August 23rd, 2011, I don't know if you know this or not, but Washington, D.C. experienced a major earthquake measuring 5.8 on the Richter scale, and the Washington Monument even cracked in that earthquake, just as I had seen in the vision. From that time forward, we began to see things begin to shift in Washington, D.C. Not going to go into that, but it's really exciting what God's doing in Washington right now. We've seen tremendous turnarounds. In fact, we're friends with a lady who was hired by the Trump administration as a senior advisor to eradicate abortion from government policy. Maybe you didn't know that was going on. But behind the scenes, Trump creates this big ruckus over here. But behind the scenes, he is like just keeping the eyes of the media over here so they don't discover that behind the scenes, every aspect of our life and governance is being realigned with God's heart and covenant. I've heard it said this way. If Mike Pence were in office, he's a very godly man. He starts every meeting in prayer. But if Mike Pence were in office stewarding what's actually going on in government right now, the accusation would be that he is trying to make us a theocracy. But because President Trump is our president, there is no such accusation. I have to confess, Jolene and I have a night and day prayer ministry. Some of you have heard this. We pray every day over what President Trump's going to say, and we pray every night over what President Trump's going to tweet. But I just want to give you some clarity of where we are and what God even has in store for Lancaster County. Because this year the Lord confirmed to me in a dream that we were to go to the 13 colonies on a glory train journey, believing him for the restoration of the glory of God. In a dream on Christmas, I was standing at the base of the Washington Monument, looking back at our glory train journey. And the glory train journey in my dream had launched in Boston on 7/22. And so we began to mobilize accordingly. We began to get things together. But in my prayer time, I saw something amazing. When I prayed over this dream, I saw the finger of God retrace the journey of that earthquake from upstate New York in Lowville all the way down through southern New York into northern Pennsylvania, southern Pennsylvania, into Maryland, and into Washington, D.C. And I heard the Lord say, I knew the Lord was saying, that he wanted us to complete the turnaround. The window of opportunity had opened. But he wanted a forerunning prayer and revival journey to complete the turnaround and secure this shift from this covenant with death and hell to a covenant of life. I think it was very interesting that less than a month later, the New York legislature met in Albany, New York on January 22nd, 122. Exodus 122 actually refers to how Pharaoh mandated that the firstborn of all the covenant people be cast into the Nile River, infanticide. And on 122, in open defiance of God, the New York legislature decided to legalize not only abortion, but infanticide. I knew we were in a moment where a Moses movement, a freedom movement, was confronting a Pharaoh movement. God had given us the divine intelligence ahead of time. Moses wins. Jesus wins. It's going to take a move of the Holy Spirit to dislodge the magnitude of evil that has come into our nation. But I'm telling you, he is coming to our land like a mighty freight train. The glory train is on the move. And there is nothing that is going to stop the move of the Holy Spirit from breaking through and realigning us with our covenantal foundations in Christ. So I just want to draw your attention. I know I've shared this here before, but I had a prophetic experience back in 2014. We had gone through the East Coast on the first glory procession journey. It was an incredible time, and we were really tired. If you saw that picture of a lobster, we went out to the beach in Virginia Beach, and you know, Jolene's part Native American, so we fell asleep on the beach, and she got very, very brown, and I turned into that lobster. And there was a fighter jet that shot out over us, and I awoke to the sound of the fighter jet and had this vision of a train, silver and gold, rolling down the tracks between Virginia Beach and San Diego. It was very unusual. I heard the Lord say, "This is my glory train." And coming from the smokestack wasn't smoke. I saw a tornado coming from the smokestack. Tornadoes can be very destructive, but they also can represent the glory of God. In Ezekiel chapter 1, you see the glory of God as a storm wind, with angels in the storm wind, with the throne of God at the very top of that whirlwind. And the whirlwind was pictured leaving the temple because God's people embraced idolatry. In Ezekiel 43, that storm wind was pictured coming through the east gate and filling the house by way of the gate facing east. And so there's a dual symbology to tornadoes. They can be very destructive, but they can also be life. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. Say it with me. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on Lancaster that Lancaster may live. We started, entered into this new year. Actually, in December, we had Chuck Pierce out for a gathering called Revolution in Washington, D.C. And it was very interesting. Chuck Pierce began to prophesy about revolution, and he talked about revolution in a whole new way. He said revolution can mean a societal movement to bring change to government. But he said it can also mean a whirlwind, a rotation, a full circle moment. Then he began to prophesy How many of you feel a whirlwind swirling? You feel a whirlwind going on, but I'm here to prophesy that when you see that whirlwind come across Pennsylvania this year, into Maryland, into Washington, D.C., you're going to know that what God has said, I have come to secure my pathway to the future. My pathway to the future shall be secured. When we started at Faneuil Hall, God met us in an extraordinary way on 7/22, July 22nd, and during the night of July 22nd and into July 23rd, three unprecedented whirlwinds hit Massachusetts. Cape Cod, actually, where our forefathers wrote the Mayflower Compact, committing the land and government to God's glory and the advancement of the Christian faith. Didn't cause any damage to people, but it blew the roof off of several buildings. We were in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and when we heard about this whirlwind coming, we began to sing the song, "Blow the Roof Off," so that we are no longer confined. Take off the ceiling that tries to confine the move of your Holy Spirit. I don't think it's any coincidence that as we were in New York, in Lowville, this past weekend, apparently, when did that whirlwind come, Carla? Three weeks ago. That's about when we started. I believe that whirlwind is a sign to you that the whirlwind of God's glory is being restored. You are going to hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's going to sound like a freight train. When folks wrote about it on the Cape Cod Times, they described the whirlwind coming. It said it sounded like a freight train. And I believe this is a sign to Lancaster County. As covenant has been restored, the door is now open. The roof has been blown off for the restoration of the glory of God to come and sweep through here. You all have prayed and repented for where Daniel Nash and Charles Finney were rejected, pushed away from the gates of Lancaster, where the whirlwind of their day was rejected. And I'm here to tell you, your repentance has been met by approval from heaven's court. God sent us from Faneuil Hall, Boston, to Plymouth, Massachusetts, to Northampton, Massachusetts, site of the first Great Awakening, to Albany, New York, and Bern, New York, to Rome, New York, site of the second Great Awakening, Lowville, New York, straight down to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Reversing the curse. And when we were first looking at this journey and praying into it just a few weeks ago, just about to start, I saw a vision of our time at the Fox Chase. And I heard the audible voice of the Lord say, "I am willing to marry Lancaster County now." Your repentance has been met with the unlocking of the treasury of heaven. Heaven's court has been satisfied by your repentance, and Jesus is the bridegroom, is looking over at Lancaster County and saying, "Ask me. Just ask me. Invite me." And I would have to say that the crescendo of this whole glory train has been this past weekend in Lancaster County. This weekend at Fox Chase and here. We've been taking a mobile baptismal everywhere we go because the Lord is moving in the waters of baptism right now. And so we decided to set up a baptismal in the pavilion where Doug and Chris have Fox Chase. And the last place we baptized was in Bern, New York. And some friends of ours, the pastor's son, a daughter and son-in-law, they tried to get in, but it was a real quick thing. They didn't really get their experience with God in the waters. And they decided to bring the baptismal down from New York to Lancaster County. Instead of sending it down by mail, they decided to drive it themselves and deliver it to us. And then they said to us, now they didn't know about anything about Lancaster being married to the Lord. They said to us, you know, we've been through some ups and downs in our 18 years of marriage. They have 5 kids. They fit in well in Lancaster County. His name is Jacob, approached me and he said, my wife Sue and I have been discussing this and we would like to renew our wedding vows in the baptism pool. To get married again, to renew their wedding vows, married to the Lord and in Him married to each other, and be baptized as a sign of the old is gone and the new has come. So I just think it's interesting that from upstate New York, where revival movement came to your doors and was rejected, you guys repented for this. And then you opened up the doors for the revival movement of this hour to be welcomed. And a couple from upstate New York became a sign and a wonder of what God wants to do and was doing in our midst. See, this is how God moves. He goes so far beyond. Let me just read you a little of the prophetic word by Bob Jones regarding the glory train. He says, we're in a time of the coming glory. We're in a time of rain. I believe this rain is going to literally be like what they call the latter rain. We're getting ready to take place as the latter rain, and it will never end. I also believe it is the reign, R-E-I-G-N, of a king. And I believe we're going to anoint Jesus as king as part of this movement. He says, we're on this glory train, and anytime you hear a glory train whistle, just say this in your thinking, I'm on that train. I'm on God's glory train. My future is in His glory train, and that's where I'm going to abide with Him. And in all my time down here, that glory train will get bigger and bigger, because when it stops in a city, that city will no longer belong to the enemy. It will belong to the Father. Get ready for entire cities to be saved. And get ready for the glory to shine at night like streaks of flames. Like fireworks, to where you'll visibly begin to see His glory. Rome, New York. The move of the Spirit in Rome, New York, swept through that whole region, and the harvest was secured. It was the first city in American history where you could literally, legitimately say, an entire city has been saved. And when the glory train came to New York, to little Rome, New York,
We knew that God was putting that car onto the engine. Entire cities are going to be saved. Entire counties are going to be saved. The move of the Holy Spirit is coming. We went to Philadelphia. We went across to Pensauk in New Jersey. Then we came here to get married to the Lord, because covenant unlocks the glory. And as covenant was restored, the door was opened for this entire county to be saved. So just as we shared before, we're in this beautiful encounter with the Lord, receiving His hand in marriage. And all of a sudden, pop, 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 fireworks start going off. In the very place, watch this now, where the whirlwinds came, three whirlwinds came down. Fireworks began to shine through the night. As the bride of Christ in Lancaster was being proposed to, will you take my hand in marriage? And a swooning bride said, I do. Are you following this? Do you understand the magnitude? I hope you do, because I can't. I'm just kind of recounting this to get my own spirit and mind around this. When we started on July 22nd at Faneuil Hall, Faneuil means face of God, by the way. There's now a new Faneuil Hall in Lancaster. That would be the hall we had our gathering in, Face of God Hall. Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets were with us, and they privately and publicly commissioned us, declaring, you must go, everywhere you go, you must now declare, revival is not coming, awakening is not coming, it has now begun. So I'm here to tell you that there's been a divine turnaround, a Daniel 7:22 turnaround, judgment in favor of the saints, restraining the enemy, releasing the saints to possess the kingdom. And for Lancaster County, this turnaround takes on a whole new level as your land has been married to the Lord. And the gateway has been opened from literally the well of the Second Great Awakening to flood the harvest fields of Lancaster, to where you will be known in a way that you don't even imagine right now, as an epicenter of awakening and revival. A pattern and a prototype for our entire nation. In case you don't think that's possible, our friends Ed and Lynn Alderson here, they are the HAPN leaders for the nation. They're responsible for all 50 states. We have leaders in all 50 states, and the primary overarching focus for 2020 is to see each state either establish or renew their marriage vows, married to the Lord. A prototype established first in Georgia and then right here in Lancaster County.
I have a word the Lord just gave me for you guys. It's out of Isaiah 40, verse 2. And it says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. But he's saying, speak tenderly to Lancaster and the counties around. And proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for and repented for, and she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And I believe the Lord is saying, because you came and you repented, and, you know, there's probably stuff that you lost, and in the economy of the world, when we lose something, sometimes we don't ever get it back. But in God's economy, he pays us back double. So the Lord's saying to you, speak tenderly to you and thank you for repenting, because he's going to come and double the impact, double the geography of where he was going to go when you rejected the first awakening. He's going to give you double restoration. So I'm just here to declare to you that the Lord is speaking tenderly to you, and that he wants you to know that he's bringing with his hand double for the sin that you repented for.
So we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come with your governmental glory. Earth, be filled with the glory of God. Lancaster County, be filled with the glory of God. Good Shepherd, be filled with the glory of God. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live. Raise up an end-time army from here, God. Do this for all of Pennsylvania. Do this for all of the 13 colonies. Do this for all the nation, God. From Isaiah 62. You will no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land shall be married. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Lord, we declare that the sin has been absolved. The blood of Jesus Christ has atoned for the sin of rejecting your move of salvation, your move of harvest, your move of awakening, your move of Holy Spirit. We welcome in through the gates now that covenant with Christ has been restored. We welcome through the gates the governmental glory of God. Well, let me just hold off on that a minute, because it's still up to you. Let me go back to Bob Jones's prophetic experience with the glory train. I don't know how these prophets do it, but they found themselves in a prophetic experience in another realm. Bob Jones, he died on February 14th of 2014, Valentine's Day. This man was above all a prophet of God's heart. And this is the last overarching experience he had before he passed on. He said, a year ago I had a vision and I waited a while to put it all together, and this is the vision I had. A train had come and I boarded it. I had a ticket and a seat. It was a very long train, didn't have any boxcars on it. It was all just one long, large train. You could see from the beginning of the train to the end of it. There were literally thousands of people on this train and they were all sitting down. So I found my seat and sat down too. I was wondering, where is this train going? What is this train? Saw the conductor come by, and so I asked him, what is this train? And he said, this is the glory train. Now I said, where are we heading? And he said, to any city that wants it. Lancaster County, I've got a question for you. Your forefathers said no to the glory train expression of their hour. What is your verdict today? Will you welcome in the governmental glory of God? Do you want this glory train?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Let's one more time say it like we mean it. Cry out to the Lord for the move of his Holy Spirit. Come on. Jesus,
yes.
Bring in this move of your Holy Spirit like an unstoppable train. We have a great museum here on trains, but we want to see a living witness of your glory train in the midst now. We cry out, Lord, for the move of your Holy Spirit and power, busting through our walls, busting through our roofs, Lord. We are open, Lord, to be redefined. Bring us on a new way forward with you. This train come into station in Lancaster. Well, do you want them or not? How badly do you want them? It's 12:12 now. I want to just close our time here with a recounting and renewal of these marriage vows. Would you stand to your feet? This couple from New York wrote out their own marriage vows, their wedding renewal vows. And we had some things to focus on and pray for last night when we saw covenant with Christ established again in Lancaster County in a profound way. But we closed with these wedding vows, knowing that these represented the vows of the Lord between the bridegroom and the bride. Are you following me? And so I just want you to make these vows your own to the Lord. And then I want you to hear the Lord's vows to you. Father, we again convene the highest court of the kingdom of God on the petition of the people of God to be married to you and you alone, divorced from all idolatry, divorced from all religion, married to the Lord. Say it with me, married to the Lord. Just repeat after me if you're ready to take this vow. God's going to put a ring on your finger. He's going to be with you in a whole new way, coming out of the place of confinement into a new season of intimacy with him and abundance from his hand, and he has saved the best wine for last, Lancaster. Say this with me, I vow
to continue
to be yours
and
yours alone.
I will honor you
and cherish you
as the best friend
and love of my life.
I will hold your hand,
the hand of the Lord,
through every valley
and dance with you
on every mountain.
I want to continue
this life by your side,
taking every day
as a new start,
an adventure,
and as a chance
to love you more deeply.
I love you always.
Now, this is Jesus' vow to you. I am so proud and blessed that the Lord chose us for one another. How many of you know the Father
sent his only begotten Son into this world to die on a cross for us, to take upon himself the full punishment that his bride deserved, so that we could be his. I'm going to repeat that again. I am so proud and blessed that the Father chose us for one another. You are my best friend, my love, and the only one I want to walk through this life with, side by side. I will make you my greatest priority, says the Lord. I love, honor, and cherish you in all seasons of life, in thoughts, in words, and in actions. I will forsake all others and grow together with you as one, so that together we can be an example to the nation of the way God created marriage to be. This is God's commitment to you, and it's his commitment to Lancaster. That Lancaster, married to the Lord, is going to be an example to the nation of the way God created marriage to be. It is for each marriage here. And it's for Pennsylvania. I will protect you. And I will lead you. And I will allow you the freedom to walk freely in the gifting the Father has given you, so that together we will be an example of the love, the glory, and power of Almighty God. Jesus speaking to you, his bride. I would be incomplete without you. I would be incomplete without you, but I am so fulfilled with you. You are what allows me to be fully who I am. Say that again. You, my beloved, are what allows me to be fully who I am. I love you always. Please raise your hand. And let's take the hand of God in marriage. One final response. Do you agree to my first marriage vow that you shall have no other gods before me? Will you forsake all others, clinging only to me? If you agree, say, I will. And I do. I declare this land married to the Lord and this people married to the Lord. And the hand of the Lord forever bound to you. Jesus, you may now kiss your bride. It has been such an honor to be with you today. Our hearts are with you guys. We cherish every moment with you. Can we close this thing out just by declaring no king but Jesus?
No king but Jesus.
Okay. All right, well, Doug's telling me special offering. So since it's already an awkward moment, did we do special offering for John and Jolene? Prior, I had come up to ask. Okay, I just knew he was Killer Bunny. Sorry. had if she blew the shofar there, y'all heard that. But I had asked her if she blew it earlier because I wasn't sure if she kind of tooted at it because my daughter had come back. She asked me, did you hear the train? And I said, no. And she said, well, Mark heard it too. And so I don't know how many of the youth or how many of the other guys had heard it. They heard it in their spirits. And so I believe what Killer Bunny was doing over here was confirming what God was already doing in heaven. And so, you know, sometimes God calls us to a prophetic act. Amen, yeah. God calls us to a prophetic act, and sometimes we don't have a clue in the natural why he's asking us to do the thing he's asking us to. Sometimes we're the one watching it, and we have no clue why he's asking that person to do what he's asking that person to do right now. But a lot of times it's echoing what he's already doing in the heavenly realm, and I believe that's what the kids heard, and then that's what was echoed. It was an echo of what was happening already in heaven, because it doesn't have to do with a train whistle, and it doesn't have to do with the sound of the shofar. It has to do with the sound of God in the heavenlies and his glory, his kingdom. This is about the harvest. This is about God's kingdom growing. It's about what Christ came to earth to do, and us walking it out and fleshing it out and praying it out, and him getting all the glory in the process. And so as we close and we worship, I want to invite the prayer team up. If you have any prayer, need, or concern, the prayer team will be up to pray with you, to minister to you. And let's go, just having had let's go anew. Let's hit this week anew. And just allow God to do something new this week in and through you. And then we want to hear testimonies of what that looked like next week. Let's worship.